Coming up, we're going to talk about a very busy sports day with Cousin Sal and Joe House featuring the Lakers' 12th NBA title and a lot of football. That's all next. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident and you're okay, but you know what happened, your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network and theringer.com. If you didn't hear the Ringer NBA show on Friday night, right after that incredible Game 5, I went on unplanned with Verno and KOC. I wanted somebody to talk about. My family was gone this weekend. I just wanted somebody to talk about the game with. So if you want to hear our reactions to an epic game that will probably outlive the series in a lot of ways, you can listen to that. You can also listen to Logan Murdoch and Raja Bell. Their reaction right after the game went up. And there you go. Coming up, we invited Joe House on. Me and Sal talking about the 2020 NBA Finals, as well as Dak Prescott's injury and a whole lot of NFL. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, Sunday night, I have dragged my battered body after just a brutal day of gambling, capped off by the Vikings money line and straight up, which they did cover. But holy mackerel, I have no idea. We're going to get to football later. Joe House is here. We invite him on Guess the Lines once a year. We did it this year to talk about basketball at the top, but also because I've beaten Sal on Guess the Lines every week. If House is involved, it actually lowers the odds I'm going to beat you, Sal.
You're right. It does help. Remember, we had the guy who won the contest last year, and I think we tied as a result.
Yeah.
And it does help. Okay, I welcome this opportunity.
Well, also, we needed House because you lost your quarterback to just a horrible, gruesome injury today.
Oh, man.
So your football season is over. My football team's not even playing anymore, and the Lakers are the 2020 NBA champions. This is my least favorite podcast I've done in a long time.
Oh, you were looking forward to this forever. Like
not
last
anymore.
Week.
Not
like,
anymore.
House,
not
you got to jump on. It's going to be the greatest sports night of the year.
Yeah.
Hey,
it wasn't.
Thanks for having me on. Any opportunity to come on a Sunday night and call Kyle a I'm here. I'm here for it. I'm back, baby.
Let's talk about the one highlight today. J.R. Smith grabbing the Lawrence O'Brien trophy before any of the other Lakers touched it. Did you see that, Sal?
I did see that, yeah.
I think he played a total of 40 seconds. And it's always either the owner, the coach, or the best player. JR's shirtless, or did he maybe he had a shirt on at that point. It just grabs it. That lunatic Laker team. Sal, what was it like for you from a betting standpoint before we
talk
about...
Well, first of all, I'm glad it wasn't a good game because my heart couldn't take it. Like you said, between Dak and then what ended up being this Sunday night craziness, and we all had the Chiefs on the money line and how they blew that, I have no idea. But yes, I mean, as you know, I had LeBron all over the place for MVP. I had the Lakers to win the title, and I'm just glad it's over. I think everyone's glad it's over. Is there anyone who's not glad it's over? I mean, I think we were becoming a little fatigued from bubble basketball just in general. But yeah, enough's enough. The Lakers are the best and they get to walk with the trophy. Good for them.
House, I think I agree with Sal. That was an incredible amount of of hours of basketball that we watched, basically starting since the end of July. And I honestly need a break from Mark Jackson. Just like maybe a couple months. I don't want to break up with him, but maybe a hiatus.
Why don't you want to break up with him?
I'm trying to be nice.
I do. Okay. Well, it's very generous of you. I will say this. I found the nights when it was the only big time thing going on to be incredibly invigorating. And the Twitter dialogue was excellent. And our text threads were excellent. When it ran up against football, it was just too much. It was overload. So if this game had been Wednesday coming up, I think it would have been still delightful, still intriguing, still all the angles. I agree with you boys 100%, obviously. It being over halfway through the second quarter was a relief because it meant I could go eat the half pizza that I wanted to eat. I had a calzone waiting for me as well. I enjoyed those and then eased into the Minnesota-Seattle game while nothing was happening. And the basketball, the only drama for me, I bet the under 215. That was a giant winner. So
yeah,
that worked out great.
Sal, you actually won money on this series. Congratulations.
What did you have? You liked the Heat just because it would have been fun to take
Heat. Today I had the Lakers money line again.
Oh, all right.
But I had them tied with the Steelers and the Chiefs.
Jesus Christ.
And actually, I was
too many sports.
I was like 1% concerned enough about the Chiefs trap game coming off of Monday night with Buffalo next week. And I looked up the Chiefs-Raiders results last year. And they just killed the Raiders last year. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, they're fine. And then you watch the game and it was clear within about a quarter and a half something was wrong. But with the Lakers, I thought that they should have won Friday night. I mean, they got Danny Green had an unbelievable look. Mm-hmm. He's going to make that some of the time at least. But then Morris gets it. But it felt like the Heat had really pulled that one out of their butt. And then to try to come back and do it again. When they were playing Dragic, that was when I was like, oh man, they're really searching for something here. But
that was tough to watch. I like the Danny Green. Did you see him running through the hall saying, we're fucking free, we're fucking free? It's like, yeah, you could have been free two nights ago if you made that shot where nobody was within 40 feet of you.
Yeah, true. Their defense was awesome tonight. And I think, you know, we see this every year with the, especially when we get to nut crunch time in the last two rounds, the team that can throw the 20-minute defensive kind of kick-ass session like that usually ends up winning the title. And they really had a level that they could go to defensively that I don't feel like anybody else had.
That was always the distinguishing factor with this Lakers team. Going back a full calendar year, it was the thing, you know, October of last year, coming into the season before everything went insane in the whole goddamn world. This Lakers defensive identity was the, you know, real defining aspect of that team.
And people we've made fun of. Caldwell Pope, we took a lot of shots at him.
Yeah.
Well, he's a classic example of a guy who's, you know, brought along. Great situation for him. Right guy at the right time. And, you know, his play was buoyed by having two all-time, you know, top 100 players as teammates.
So you're saying Sal could have done that?
I've seen Sal shoot. He's not a bad stroke.
Thank you. I'm totally satisfied with this Lakers win. I don't put an asterisk by it. Who screwed up? Who screwed up a better scenario, better finals, what would have been better playoffs more, the Clippers or the Celtics? Who screwed up?
I think the right team won. I think those two guys together was better than anything else anybody had. The Celtics series, you know, I don't think it would have gone much differently. Milwaukee was probably the team, as weird as this sounds, that would have been the most problematic for them because they had a bunch of big guys.
Were invited to the bubble.
Yeah,
right.
remember them? They left like 5 weeks ago.
I disagree with that, but that's fine.
No, I'm just saying from a matchup standpoint, I don't think anybody was gonna beat this Lakers team with those guys playing like that. But, you know, I still feel like if Dragic had been healthy, you could even see it today with him on one leg. Mm. All of a sudden, Bam's getting involved on those runs to the rim and the stuff like that. That was the stuff they weren't getting. Hero wasn't ready to play at that level. I thought it was a really noble effort by Miami even to take that to six. But I thought we got to mention LeBron. who won Sal some money.
We do?
Yeah. You guys fought me and fought me on this. I said, if the Lakers win this at minus 330, stay away from that. There's just no way. Read the jerseys. There's no way LeBron's not getting MVP. And he did everything to deserve it anyway. I think he out-rebounded Anthony Davis along with scoring.
I actually think that was his best finals, I think, out of all the finals he's won. Yeah, like, I don't know if the stats back this up, but just eye test, I don't feel like he ever took a night off. Even in games that they were the game three and game five, it's not like he had like awful games or anything. He was shooting great. He's figured out that bully ball thing in a really significant way. When he needs to get to the paint, he's just getting there now. And he's like Karl Malone size, but he's also shooting threes. His passing is as good as it's been. It's a little weird though that they're grasping onto the 17th title thing. You guys are innocent bystanders. So the first five were in Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
So they claim those, and it's like the 17th whatever. George Mikan, who is the best player of the first 10 years of the league before Russell, was the best guy in those Minneapolis teams, and he was like the league's first great player. True or false, his number is not retired in the Staples Center.
Oh, we can't say. No one's been in the Staples Center for months. We can't really say for sure. I would say true.
His number's not retired. So they have no connection to this guy. They didn't put his jersey up there.
Right.
But they're claiming the banners just because they're padding their numbers. I think it's bullshit. To me, it's they won their 12th title. That's it. House,
I'm
what do you
with
think?
You. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm so surprised to hear you say that. I can't believe that you would look for an opportunity to denigrate the all-time record of the LA Lakers. I don't care. You can say whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me.
Do you feel like
the whole thing is like if you do this with the Dodgers and the Brooklyn Dodgers, not that the Brooklyn Dodgers won a ton of championships, but Brooklyn Dodger fans hate the LA Dodgers. Like, don't put it together. It's not even like, they were an offshoot, little brother, little big brother. Like, no. They can't stand them. There's bad blood. Probably not as much between Minnesota and LA, but it's got to be there a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the LeBron thing, the three titles on three different teams where he's the best guy. Impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A nice little caveat for him when we're comparing him against Jordan when he retires. Four finals MVPs. It's a lot.
Phenomenal.
Impressive.
It's a high number. And I just think there's like no holes in his, there weren't really any holes in his game for the last, I would say, 8 weeks. He was really locked in. And I was talking to somebody that was there and they were saying how high the quality of the basketball was. And I do think like you remove all the distractions and really there's not a lot going on and you're just focused. It's the same arena every day. There's no fans. You're dealing with no bullshit. You're just hooping. And it really did lead to some great stuff. Like that game five, I thought, House, that I don't think we talked after that game. That was an iconic finals game.
Awesome.
It was absolutely insane. It was scintillating. It was incandescent. We don't get that two best players going back and forth like that. It feels extremely rare. And it was just a delight. I couldn't have enjoyed it more.
And it was such a LeBron game too, right? Which was why I surprised you that they lost. And this is really, really grasping for straws here. But I felt like Kobe deserved a game five ending with the Lakers on top more than the way it ended up today. You know, it was anticlimactic for an hour and a half. Obviously, all the accolades afterwards and in the interview. And the interview cracks me up. Like LeBron is like, they're basically rolling around on the ground, he and AD. And then when it comes time to do the interview, very focused, very like, come on, LeBron, just be happy. This is not like the Stanley Cup where you're celebrating with the toothless teammates, and then you got to put on the sad face and shake hands with everybody. Like, just keep it going for 2 minutes. We get it. It's not the most important thing going on in the world, but
it had to have been a little weird to win a title not in like a stadium that had a ton of fans.
It's an empty
gym. The energy of it was a little weird. I think the crazy thing, and I talked about the game five, I went on Ringer NBA. I was so excited after that game. I just invited myself on the podcast. Nice. But Butler was able to match him. And then you see tonight, Butler was normal, right? He did like half decent game, like 13 points, seemed spent. And LeBron is still just at the same level. He's like, hey, I'm still here. Where are you? And Butler just, it just shows how amazing LeBron is.
That's it. That's the true mark of LeBron's genius. That is the thing that he'll go down in history. He's number one in playoff games played in the history of the NBA. He's number one in minutes played, and he has never missed one single playoff game.
Yeah.
That is some legendary shit. That he's a bad, bad man. Are you still sick of Mark Jackson?
I like that he said that in the post game, because I don't think he gets enough credit for
that he never missed a game.
It's a record, but it's, you know, even like Bill Russell missed a playoff game.
Yeah. Well, it's a record because he's played more than three seasons worth of playoff games.
Right.
260 playoff games.
Well, you would think like there would have been one moment where one bad thing, somebody stepped on somebody's ankle, anything.
Right. It's basketball.
I remember writing about this a couple years ago and joking about it. Like, he's one of those guys when he gets hurt, like if his leg came off, you would expect him to just put it back on.
Mm.
Right? It's like, oh, can you get my right leg? It's over there. And he just like puts it back and goes.
Is that a Dak Prescott joke? I'm not sure.
Not an Alex Smith joke. Alex Smith's leg works.
That was the Alex Smith against the Rams defense was the scariest moment today.
I did not enjoy that.
All right. So what did we do wrong? Did we make enough smart bets with the NBA bubble? Because I was all over the Miami thing, and somehow I feel like I didn't capitalize as much as I should have. And then the Lakers, you knew they were winning tonight.
Yeah.
And I should have just done it straight up. I didn't. But what betting trends, what did you see from the last 10 weeks, Al?
I screwed up with you didn't lose on this one. I lost the most money on Boston over Toronto. And I know you tried to talk me out of it. You're like, this is going to be a good series. What did I say? Miami-Boston. Yeah. You thought it was going to be close. You thought Miami could even pull it out. I didn't want to hear any. That's the thing. I can't tell with you if you're pulling a Lou Holtz.
No, I told you Miami was going to beat us.
I know.
I told you they should be favored by minus 170.
I never know with you if you're just saying that. So that it looks great.
No, I don't mess with my own team. I'm always.
All right.
At least trying to be honest.
That's where I lost. I don't know. I have odds for next year if you want to go over them.
I do. You were down.
I regret not joining Sal on LeBron for MVP. It was sitting there at a reasonable price. It was less than 2-1. It was -170 at the outset of the playoffs. Mm. Just a nice, easy hedge to, if the Lakers win, he wins. You don't have to bet the Lakers. That would have been a nice parlay if the book would have accepted it.
Simmons, LeBron MVP. What does it bother you? Scale 1 to 10, Rondo winning a title in LA.
Oh, I love Rondo. I he's the only Laker I liked.
Doesn't bother you?
No, I'm fine with Rondo.
Really?
We traded him.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
we literally did.
It could still bother you though. It's not like
I like Rondo. I'm glad he's still doing Rondo things. I was always a big fan of his. My big win. I didn't have a lot of wins with this Lakers thing. Obviously, it's my least favorite basketball team. Dwight Howard almost getting a DNP. I feel like we won that one, House. Belatedly, we were like, this guy cannot be a center on a championship team, and then. When push came to shove, game 6, Vogel was like, yeah, Dwight, have a seat, buddy. You're going to come in with about 90 seconds left and take a 28-footer and make it so you're on the box score. But I felt vindicated by that. trying to think anything else, House? Frank Vogel?
Vogel's an NBA champ.
They did exactly what they were supposed to do, the Lakers organization. They got serious, right? They went through the pain and agony of the discombobulated season where they had LeBron, but no other pieces around them. LeBron shut it down halfway through. There was all the front office turmoil. They cleared away all that nonsense, built a great framework for the best, you know, opportunity they could make for themselves.
Yeah.
They got AD in the house, and then they followed it through under the craziest circumstances possible. I give them all the credit in the world.
And the Magic Johnson kind of pretending that he didn't exist tonight was interesting too. Because remember, there was a whole narrative that he brought LeBron to Los Angeles and all that stuff. And then when it all went downhill, God, how many months ago was that now? Like April 2019. And he did that long press conference, but then tried to take the high road and then went on First Take and called Pelinka, said he was like a backstabber and all that stuff.
That's right.
And Pelinka was right there in the middle of everything, looking like Rob Lowe.
He thanked his sister, Jeannie Buss, on Twitter. He said, I want to thank my sister, which I'm not familiar with the
genealogy. Oh, I didn't know that they were
genealogy.
But be adopted. That's incredible.
We should look
adopted
into that.
Sister. Adopted, okay.
Jeannie's speech was a little long, I felt like. If you're the owner, it's like, I want to thank the players, this great organization. I wish my dad was here. And then you hand it off.
There's no fans to boo. You can just go forever. Talk for 2 hours if you want.
Bubble playoffs, though. I huge A+. I thought it did everything they ever wanted from it.
Yeah.
They raised awareness in a bunch of different ways. The basketball was great. I thought the players distinguished themselves mm-hmm. in an awesome way. We had some unbelievable performances. The Boston-Toronto series mm-hmm. had some great ones. Jokic, two rounds in a row, Jokic and Murray. The mm-hmm. Murray-Mitchell battle was great. And
I mean, think about just Luka in the first round. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, right.
Like we had all these incredible performances.
Lillard.
Exactly. Yeah. Unbelievable. Murray.
Oh, yeah. We had the elimination game with Memphis and Portland.
That was fun. That's what
really
we won
good.
Money.
Really effing good.
Well, and it's good, especially when you see by comparison what the rest of sports is like now. And we're just clinging to life with this football stuff. But Man. Does Chris Paul get a ring? I mean, we are now forgetting all of a sudden, I think, how close we were to this season falling apart. Like, in a way, he convinced or, you know, laid the found the baseline for LeBron coming back. It looked like LeBron was going to quit, right? We almost didn't have basketball.
It definitely got dicey a couple of times.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, I give those dudes a lot of credit being in
for
that.
Sure.
I know they're multimillionaires and they're in suites in the hotel and it's not like they were like sleeping on sleeping bags, but that's a long time to try to stay focused and, you know, stay off social media. Because they're just in their hotel room. House, you do a lot of, or you used to do a lot of traveling.
You're on the road. Honestly, until March of 2020, I had been on the road 30 straight months. At least once a month, I was in New York or LA mm-hmm. or some other part of the country. Mm. And I absolutely, positively, those guys with that commitment and how seriously they took the effing pandemic, right?
Right.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Like they, as an industry, they have the means to protect themselves, to create a system that's going to put them in the best possible position to have a successful season. And they pulled it off, but it took all of them, however many, it was like, what is it, 1,000 people? All in, 1,500 people all in. They all did it. It was an incredible achievement, I think.
Maybe they'll give you a ring, House, after they hear about your streak of one day a month for 30 months. I mean, that's that's pretty spectacular.
I know all about the 5-star lotions, let me tell you.
House picks his hotel room by the lotions. He calls in advance. Hey, what kind of lotion do you have?
Overall, there was 12
I don't,
and
I don't
half
need
minutes.
To call anymore. I know who's got the best lotion.
Coming up, we're going to talk a little football.
You
want to
go
magnanimous for a second.
You don't want to do next year's lines real quick? Odds?
No. All right, fine.
I'll just do it this way. Lakers are favored plus 380. Clippers plus 460. This is our friends at I can read FanDuel lines, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bucks plus 640. Then you got two teams at 13-1. Who are they?
Celtics.
This has to be Celtics.
Right.
Dallas.
No, not even. No.
Who is it?
The Nets, 13-1.
Oh, sure.
Oh, stop.
Where were the Warriors?
Golden State, 14-1.
Oh, I would have said the Warriors at 13-1.
And then you have the Heat at 15-1. And then, House, your Wizards are 80-1. That's not terrible.
No, they could be 800-1. It would be the same.
Golden State's 14-1?
Yeah.
Let's get on it.
Oh, that's pretty enticing.
I would put 100 on it right now.
Because they have the second pick in the draft and...
Oh, yeah.
Wiggins contract. They have a future Minnesota pick. Like, they have...
Could be fun.
Moves to make. They're trying to get House's guy, Bradley Beal.
Oh, stop it. When are they going to play again, Simmons? February? March?
End of January, right?
I can honestly say that they have no idea.
Really?
Okay.
A lot of the owners want fans.
That's a fair request. I want fans. Mm-hmm. When can we have fans?
You have owners who want to have games in their arenas. Some of whom paid for their arenas and they want to have fans there and they're watching this football thing very closely, which is going terribly. I'm going to be magnanimous for 1 second. Congratulations to the Laker fans on your 12th title.
There you go, Bill.
Backhanded Bill. at his best.
12 titles is a really great number.
It's one more than Bill Russell.
Come back. We'll talk about Sal's missing quarterback. This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. 7-time world champion, modern day legend, my favorite quarterback ever, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. It's going to be hosted by Kevin Hart, and Tom Brady will get his cleats held to the fire by famous friends, frenemies, the roast master himself, Jeff Ross. It's going to be an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix. All right, Sal, just when you thought the Cowboys season couldn't get any worse, you have some bets. Didn't you bet them to have the best record?
In the, yes, I did.
NFC? Do you have any Dak bets?
No, I bet
them
in the best record in football, I thought.
That's even worse.
I didn't have Dak. I had them to win the NFC East, which is not impossible. Still, but
walk us through. This is a tough one for you.
Look, I made a deal with myself. Years ago, I came on your podcast and I told you about my blood diamond moment when Tony Romo was a holder at the time and quarterback. He botched the snap against Seattle. And I told the wife, I'm like, we have to go to a movie after this or something. They lost the playoff game as a result. And we saw Blood Diamond and I cried. And I vowed, I'm not going to have that moment anymore. It just doesn't matter anymore. Also, I could put into perspective that this Cowboys team is not beating the Ravens in Tampa in February. They're not beating the Chiefs. So I'm able to look ahead and not worry too much. That said, this is as close to as emotional as I got when Dak is there and he points to his hideous foot. I mean, you're almost hoping like, oh my God, I hope his foot came out of a sneaker, because otherwise that looks so gruesome that I'm going to have to look away. And I know the result. And then add to it, like, you got Romo calling it, like, what must be going through his mind? Romo's calling Dak's injury, and you got the ex-coach Jason Garrett hovering over Dak. Like, holy shit, this is an incredible moment. Then they wheel him away and he's crying. And I'm like, it doesn't get any worse than this. And for a Cowboys fan, I feel like a lot of teams, whoever you root for, you could make a case that your season ends 3 or 4 times during that year. Like, oh, that's it. How many times do you say, oh, our season's over? That happens like 3 or 4 times during a game. Like, I say our season's over. Like, they'll come back and they'll lose it. And just the same, like, Andy Dalton's fine. Is Andy Dalton the best quarterback in the NFC East? I think he might be, right?
Yeah, it's... he's certainly not worse than Wentz.
So I don't know what to think. Yeah, Wentz is obviously the only comparison.
Well, so I went through this in 08 after the 18-1 season, and Brady got hurt 8 minutes into the mm-hmm. season, week one. And you go through like the 7 stages. This was different because he's limping around for like, that's bad. I hope he doesn't have it. Like, I have time to brace. This one was like, looked bad. And then Dak's pointing his ankle and it's going like to the right.
Yeah.
And you just knew. And then we have Tracy Wolfson comes in a half hour later, like, guys, it is an ankle. Dak's out for the game. It's like, yeah, we know, Tracy. We saw his ankle pointing sideways. We're aware.
A lot more upset than it should have. That check-in. Like, please. I know it's not her fault, but for God's sakes. We get it. It wasn't a shoulder injury.
House, what's the worst injury you've had for somebody on your favorite team?
What are you talking about? Not only did I have Joe Theismann.
Oh, yeah.
The Giants, like the first of those bad leg things. But Alex Smith almost died 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was with a season where, there's a reasonable hope for the Washington professional, almost professional, might be professional football team to go like 8-8 or 9-7 and be competitive that year. The defense wasn't terrible, but it immediately went off the rails at that moment. They had a winning record when he went out at that point. But I there's plenty of those kinds of injuries. I mean, John Wall. I can't say that with a straight face. Anyway.
The Dak one's tough because... especially with the whole contract thing, which I know people will, it's going to be a big deal this week. People are like, this is why athletes do, because you could go over to snap, all that stuff. But it was one of the first things I thought of, like, oh man, this sucks. He didn't even get the guaranteed awesome contract. And if it's like the Hayward injury, Hayward wasn't the same for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it seemed like it was the same injury, right? It was a dislocated ankle and a compound fracture, well, which like, I think is like, what Hayward had.
It was like the Alex Smith. Like, as soon as it goes to, you know, I was thinking to myself, good for Dak. He doesn't have to deal with these losers and be on this loser team. And then I'm thinking, shit, it's not like that. It's not like he's definitely back next year. When the bone goes through the skin, it is like the Alex Smith thing. It could, there could be infection and all that stuff. But I'm going to make a weird statement here that he may get the contract now. Jerry Jones is very strange and emotional with these things. So this might be what put him over the top in a weird, weird way. We won't know, obviously, if the prognosis is as bad as it could be. I'm completely wrong. But if it's somewhere in the middle or on the low end, maybe this is a wake up call for Jerry to sign him to a long term contract.
Well, wouldn't that be an enormous gesture by Jerry?
Right.
And Dak can now compromise, right? Like, you don't need the upper echelon extra $35 million. Just take $100 million over 4 years. That's still pretty good. Whenever you can play and take $50 million of it guaranteed, that's better than whatever the insurance policy is going to pay.
Right.
I got to say, I don't understand why these injuries don't happen more often, because I think especially since our TVs got bigger and the picture got clearer, and it feels like there's 15 of these a game where you don't understand how somebody's leg didn't go sideways, or somebody falls into the back of an offensive lineman's leg, or somebody plants and their foot gets stuck. And I'm always aware of this, I think, more than I've ever been. I think it's just because our TVs are nicer. The picture's so clear. You can like really see everything in the...
I think in your sport, I think basketball all the time. I don't know how it doesn't happen every 45 seconds. Someone doesn't land on another player's ankle and twist it and they're out for the game, month, year.
Well, I really like Dak. I was enjoying his whole garbage time, putting up 450 yards a day. The receivers are great. Cooper, does Cooper start for you anymore? What's going on? My son has him on a fantasy team.
I don't know what to do with Cooper. He takes himself out of like every other series. He's Anthony Davis, but without the scoring factor anymore. And they have so many weapons, they don't even care, I don't think.
House.
Yes.
The quarterbacks of the three guys on this phone call. Andy Dalton, Jared Stidham, Alex Smith.
Well, I actually think
Mighty have fallen.
Kyle Allen's going to come back, I think.
We can't really
have Alex Smith go out there and start football games.
Allen was half decent. Alex Smith, it was really terrifying to watch.
It was terrifying. I did not enjoy it.
I didn't like it. I turned that game. I had the four pack with the four games on, and when he came in, I took it off. I was like, I can't. It's too weird.
It was weird, and Twitter made it worse because everyone took it on as their cause, and they're like, this is my, it's like I'm watching my son right now. It's like, oh, please don't do this. This is, it's bad enough. But you're just hoping for him not to get hit. And thanks a lot. I mean, this is, House, in terms of the management skills of the Washington team, this might be at the top of the list for the worst. Like, this guy didn't even get hit in practice, and it's like, oh, go out there. I want you to meet Aaron Donald. Hopefully he'll show mercy on you. Won't kill you, right?
We haven't been able to block these guys yet all game. Yeah, go on in there, Alex Smith.
Yeah. I stopped watching when they got their 16th sack. I don't know what the ultimate number was, but when they got to 16, that was enough. I don't need to see anymore.
Donald at
four.
It was
brutal.
I know. It's insane. Yeah.
So, Sal, somehow your team won.
Or won in first place, 2-3. I'm not very excited, like I said, but they did win that game. Yeah, that didn't look good for a while. I don't even know what to say about the game itself. What did you think they had a chance to pull it off? 37-34.
I just think Danny Dimes is the master of, I'll take you very close, and then we won't actually win because of the two dumb things I did during the game.
Yeah, right.
He's too sloppy with the ball. I don't know if that's fixable.
I think he's only played one game in his career where he didn't turn the ball over.
And all the defenders, when they go at him, it's clear like they were banging it home in practice, right? Hit this guy, make sure you go after the ball. Like the guy can't keep the ball. So Dallas is 2-3, Philly's 1-3, Washington's 1-4, and the Giants are 0-5. So the Giants are 0-5 and they're two games back.
Yeah. Eagles, I think, are looking at 7-8-1. So if the Cowboys could go 8-8, I think that's a division champ right there. They don't go.
Well, how close did you watch that Eagles game?
I was watching it closely. It was very, very strange because it looked like,
It was pretty fluky.
Without Chase Claypool, I don't know, what does Pittsburgh do that game?
But it was that Miles Sanders, it was like a third and 10.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's like a 7. It just seemed like Pittsburgh was going to win 35-3. And then that run kind of changed it. And then that tight end for the Eagles, who I watch football every weekend. I can't say I knew who that guy was.
Oh, Fulgham?
Fulgham. He showed up like a week ago. And now he's Kellen Winslow, 1980. I don't know. They're throwing like kind of lob passes. He's just jumping up over dudes. And
Wentz does make tight ends great. He really does the most with tight ends than any other quarterback, I think.
I'm so frustrated how the Steelers find these receivers.
Yeah.
The Patriots, since Belichick has shown up, we drafted Deion Branch and Edelman, I think were the two guys we've had in 20 years. The Steelers get a guy like every year they have a new guy. And then there was like Claypool, who you have in your fantasy team. And then they're like, they run something with McLeod. It's like, who's McLeod?
Yeah, he had like another guy, 50-yard
play? What the fuck?
Yeah. Punt returner.
But yeah, they know
Ray
how to
Ray
find,
McLeod.
Yeah.
His name is Ray Ray.
They know how to find these dudes. They have speed. I don't love their running back. I'm not a huge Connor fan, but
he didn't do much. It seemed like he electrified it, but he was like 15-44. But yeah, they mix that up too with McFarland and Snell, and it's something different every day. But yeah, McLeod was the big run of the game. I think he had like 63 yards or something.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on Pittsburgh yet.
Well, that division
I can't tell
is
if they're a contender or not.
That's the best division, right? Though, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Yeah,
and then root for Joe Burrow.
That's it. Joey covers.
Game. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk
about
Cleveland.
Who did not cover?
I'm not sold on them either. You know, it was Michael Conrad week. Let the memorial. Let's be careful out there.
Let's be careful out there.
House and I. I ran my $1 million picks by House. I really thought it was the week of the underdog, you know, the big money line underdogs coming through. So I picked four of them and tried to cross-pollinate with all the different. And so we had the Raiders, which was not on my list. They ended up covering, what was their money line? Like plus 500?
Yeah, probably
525.
Was it that?
I thought I saw. Maybe I got it wrong.
525. And then the Dolphins, that Niners game was over in 5 seconds.
Oh, man. Didn't have a chance.
So, and then what were they? They were like probably like 350, 370.
Yeah, right in there.
And then we had the Giants over the Cowboys, almost it really seemed like it was going to happen. And then the Vikings, Seahawks, which we'll talk about after.
Wait,
the break,
so you had two of those? You had two winners there?
I took four. I had the Jags.
Oh, but you combined them. Oh, yeah.
I just did. I did six bets
round
with
robin.
The four
round
teams.
Robin.
I round robined everybody and I was like, I'm going to hit two of these.
Yeah.
And then the Jags were, they weren't like a huge one, but that was another one where if you actually watch the game, they were right in it. They kept blowing it inside the 20-yard line. I certainly wasn't that impressed with Houston, but Sal, I think that was the week. I think that was weirdo week, right?
That's the one we should have pounced on, right? Yeah.
No, this
I think
this week five, I think we got it out of the way now.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I don't know how I'm going to recoup that money that I lost on the Chiefs and all those freaking teams you just named. But
me neither.
Yeah, it was disgusting. About the Chiefs. Did we talk about the Chiefs yet? Like, you said earlier, like they played like they might be looking ahead to the Bills, whenever the hell that game is now. And now it's next Monday. But I think these teams should not look ahead to another game. And I know it's hard to say about an athlete to just turn it on every single game, but play, especially this year, play this one like it's your last, because you never know who on the other team you're playing is going to test positive. And if that ever is going to stop and it's just going to spiral out of control, you know. But yeah, the Chiefs are now every division is up for grabs, right? I mean, maybe you don't believe the Raiders are a true contender, but they're right there.
I don't know what to make of the Chiefs with their offensive line, which seems like it really does have trouble. A, blocking people, and B, really terrible holding penalties at the worst possible times, which seem to set them back. Also, like the rookie, who is fun, right? When he's in space, it's great. But the way they're using him, I'm not sure it's the right use of him, where they're like trying to use him as this inside runner, and he's like 5'2", 120 pounds. And it just seems like they need like that change of pace, Latavius Murray type of
Guy,
like somebody with some size for certain plays, that especially like third and short, stuff like that.
House, I think he only had like 10 carries, Allaire. But
yeah, no, I don't, I don't feel great about them.
They had a guard that tore tendons in both knees today.
In one play.
Yeah.
Yeah. But their problem is not on offense, by the way. They gave up 40 points to the Raiders. They have a defensive scheme problem. And the thing that I really, really regret and resent is Sal knows this. Some dumb sports book paid out the Chiefs to win that division this week.
All
I saw it in the Twitter feed. How did we not immediately go jump on the Raiders? Obviously, that was the easiest bet on the whole effing board. Whoever that dumbass book was that paid out anybody, you had to lay $500 on the Chiefs to win the NFC. The AFC West. And they, through four games, they're like, oh, if you have that ticket, we're paying it out. I mean, obviously, they did the math on however many dummies put down money on it. And it's like, this is a good media ploy for us. This is good publicity for us. Mm-hmm. But still, that would have been a good moment. Because the point Bill just made is exactly right. That division is now wide open.
Yeah.
The Chargers are not pushovers in that division. And, well, Denver is, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird because I just watched the Raiders. They didn't have Ruggs in the game. They had a couple defensive injuries during the game when they played the Patriots. So I was watched them really close to that game. And they just didn't strike me as very good. Like when I threw the Chiefs in my big parlay I had this week, they're minus 650. Once I looked up to make sure that it wasn't one of those weird division rivalry games that were super close every year, I didn't think about it again. I was worried about the Pittsburgh-Philly game.
Yeah, you know. they traditionally kill him. I mean, Andy
especially
Reed
at Arrowhead.
Dominates him. For
sure. It's like seven straight wins at Arrowhead.
And then you see Nelson Aguilar make a catch, like, no way, that guy retired 4 years ago. I don't want to hear this crap. It's like, and those guys like that, in addition to Ruggs and all those guys, and Carr, I think, has like, does he have 13 touchdowns and one interception? Should we add him to the list of 40 MVPs this year?
I thought Carr was terrific.
Yeah.
He had a couple deep throws that he had to hit, and he fucking hit the guys in stride. What more do you ask for?
They were down two scores twice in this game, the Raiders. The Chiefs were up by two scores twice, at least, in this game. And this is the single worst loss that Mahomes has had in his entire NFL career. Eight points to the Raiders.
The thing with the Raiders, and Carr was like, we always made fun of him about the checkdowns and all that stuff. And it seems like Gruden's really forcing him now to throw downfield.
Mm-hmm.
And when they throw downfield and he hits a couple, it opens up everything for them. Their offense looked real. I mean, they dominated the second half.
Yeah.
And they were showing the stats, and it was like Raiders, 240 yards, second half, Chiefs, 22. It was an ass kicking. It almost wasn't an upset. Like, they really outplayed them.
And yet, and I know you hated this for the night game, they still needed that 4th-and-1 conversion. Which didn't really make sense, but I'm like, God, Gruden, just keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, and they converted and didn't give him the ball back, and that was the way to do it. I know you didn't like that for the Minnesota game.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, but we're going to take a break. Hey, if you've been dealing with acne, redness, dark spots, or wrinkles, finding treatments that work can be complicated. You need skincare that actually performs, but getting started can be overwhelming. Thankfully, there's a solution. Roman makes it convenient to get customized prescription skincare that really performs. Just grab your phone or computer, complete a free online consultation, and you'll hear back from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours. If appropriate, a doctor will prescribe a custom blended treatment based on your skin type and priorities. You'll receive your custom skincare treatment with free 2-day shipping. Also get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor if you need to make a change to your treatment or have any questions. With Roman, no commitments, cancel anytime. Go to GetRoman.com/Bill to try out a 3-month supply of Nightly Defense for just $5. It is free to chat with the doctor. Your first order is just $5. GetRoman.com/Bill. Eligibility requirements and additional terms apply. I had the Vikings +7, but I said the Vikings money line. I had them parlayed in a couple things. And I understand the math. And this happens time to time in football. And a team does something that the math tells them to do and they don't get it. Mm-hmm. And then they lose. And everybody's like, no, actually, that was the right move. I still feel like the math doesn't take account situations. And here there are two specific situations. One is Russell Wilson's on the other side. Mm-hmm. And if I don't get it, now I'm up 5 and Russell Wilson's absolutely going to go down the field and score. That's how I felt betting on the Vikes watching it. The second thing was and I know this is stupid, but it's the fucking Vikings. My best friend Jeff is a Vikings fan. We're texting during the game about this is the greatest hits of all the dumb Vikings losses. Like you could they do this every year, five times a year, and this was like the quintessential terrible Vikings thing. So it was like, it's almost like whatever they were going to do in that situation, they're probably going to get fucked with. But I would rather be up eight. I'd rather make him go the field, and I'd want to make him get the 2-point when they don't really have a good running game.
But don't you, okay, if he was going to go 80 yards and score, let's say they do get the 2-point conversion or whatever, they kick the field goal and they go up eight and they get the ball at the 25. He's going to go 75 yards and score, right? If you think, oh, we got to keep it out of Russell Wilson's hands, then you're looking at a 2-point conversion.
But then I still get OT.
I mean, he had to go 95 yards. It was 4th and 10 with that shithead D back, like overran the ball by 15 yards. I think Metcalf brought it down. Like there was so many opportunities. As it was, he got down there with 1:09 and a timeout at the 25. I don't know. I never killed coaches for being, you know, trying to take the ball out of the MVP's hands, whether it's Mahomes or Wilson. And they were running all over them, except it was the left side that they were devouring, but they brought it up right. And that Madison looked unstoppable in place of Dalvin Cook.
House, did you like it or you didn't like it?
I prefer the points in that instance. I absolutely positively understand the math. I almost always want to play the percentages, but I have that same completely irrational fear of Russell Wilson. Even kicking the field goal also has the effect of taking away, what, another 4 seconds, whatever it takes to kick a field goal. And then whatever it takes, you know, if you don't kick it through the end zone on the kickback, like every second you can take away from Russell Wilson, you put in your own bank. And the idea of creating for Seattle the requirement that they score twice with the touchdown and the 2-point conversion,
yeah,
that just feels like it's dumb. I understand the percentages.
Me too.
And I don't disagree. Sal's point is absolutely well founded. They were gouging the Seahawks on the ground, but it came down to a single play, a single stop, and the Seattle defense was up for it for just that one moment. And it's all it took. And you know,
Collinsworth brought up a good point. He said if the fans are screaming down that end zone, they probably don't go for it, right? They probably can't hear their own cadence.
They don't
go for it. It ends up being 4th and 6. They fall start or whatever. But
well, here's where I stand in case the situation ever comes up again. I'm just going on the record. I get the math. I support the math. But if I'm going against Wilson or Rodgers or Mahomes, and if I don't get it, I'm just going to lose because those guys are going to go on the field and score. I'm kicking the field goal. I want to go up by 8 just against those three guys. Those are the three guys. Anybody else, House, who would be on that list? That's it, right?
It used to be Tom Brady, but you know.
Well, I'm okay with the math against Tom Brady at this point of his career. But you know, there was a really interesting thing that Collinsworth said near the end when he was talking about Wilson telling them about DK Metcalf. Did you hear that part?
No, I don't think I did.
It was when, I can't remember if it was after he scored or after he caught the long pass, but Collinsworth was like, you know, Russell told us, he thinks DK Metcalf can be one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Wow.
And he's like, I just want to be the Montana to his Jerry Rice. And he just like dropped that. I was like, holy shit. Russell Wilson thinks that? Because I don't feel like Russell Wilson would make that up. You know, or like exaggerate that. And that's like really high praise to say that. And that made me think like, man, imagine, because I got to say, Carol told me that too. When we were doing the Pete Carroll, Steve Kerr pod, we would talk like during before and after and stuff. And he was like, DK Metcalf is like really great, like really, really, truly great. And it was like, all right, you don't know if he's being a coach or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it really does seem like he might have it.
Yeah.
Over and over again in these games, he's making... You know, that 4th and 10 play was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, why wouldn't you love a guy who gets like 70% of the 50-50 balls? Like, right? That's his thing. In addition to going over the middle and everything else he does, he's kind of the perfect specimen for that position. Yeah, it's hard with Russell Wilson. You don't know if these guys are good or he just makes everybody better. And unfortunately, like Metcalf falls into that spear there. And I think like, yeah, Russell had to stick up for him there and say, no, 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 this guy's great.
Well, I think, yeah, I think normally that's the case. But I think in this case, it really seems like this guy might be special. And it's crazy because, you know, he almost fell out of the second round.
Yeah.
And remember, there was all that stuff about he was like an Instagram, whatever. You took McLaurin over him, right?
That was a great draft for receivers.
And really don't even regret it. I love McLaurin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We took Harry, and I do regret it. I have a lot of regrets.
He scored a couple weeks ago, I think.
Oh, my God. Let's go to, speaking of Brady, let's go to Washed Watch.
What's this?
This is a new segment. I'm starting. Washed Watch.
Washed Watch? I know where this is going.
Phil Rivers. I know, Sal, I know you have a new book coming out.
Yeah.
What's your book called?
It's called You Can't Lose Them All. It's available for pre-order. Yeah. I'll be talking about it.
So Phil Rivers has a new book coming out. It's called, Oh, That Was Almost Picked. .. That's going to be his new autobiography. I watched that entire game. He had like 12 possible interceptions. The Browns were like baiting him into throwing his noodle arm, you know, to the side pass. And they were like, who's getting, they must've had like a pick six pool. He was so bad. He single-handedly cost them the game. I'm so mad at myself, House. We knew he was terrible. We stopped betting on him last year.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is the frustrating aspect of it for me. Indianapolis, we know, is a sound organization, great GM, great coach, good on both sides of the ball. Have built the team the right way, right? Defensive line, offensive line. They want to control the line of scrimmage. And yet with all of that brain power, all that brain trust, they are the ones who affirmatively talked to each other and said, yes, that's the guy that we want. That's the guy that's going to take us to the next step. We have all these pieces in place. We have a great infrastructure. We can build on this. And the guy that's going to help get us over the hump is Philip fucking Rivers.
Who's a very good player once upon a time.
And here we are today, Bill Simmons, with our dick in our hands because we keep betting on the goddamn Colts and they keep giving games away. They keep making stupid mistakes and leaving points on the field. And I'm frustrated because I have them to win more than 10 games. I have them to win the AFC South. I mean, I have a lot of exposure to the Colts because I do think that they are good. They are a sound franchise.
Darius Leonard was hurt today, too.
That was the difference. It was Darius Leonard really did hurt them.
I certainly have my teams like Atlanta and Denver that I pick every year. But you guys with these Colts are unbelievable every single year. And I get it. Like, at first, a few years ago, it was, all right, this is going to be an FU to Andrew Luck. I like Jacoby Brissett. He's a New England guy. But now you keep it going with the Colts. I've written them off. I didn't know why they were favored against the Bears. They ended up winning the game. I didn't know why they were favored for a few days this week against the Browns. And then the Browns became the favorite. I'm like, I just stay away from them. I get that their defense is great. I think they allowed 236 yards a game or something before this week. And they didn't
good
do that bad
teams.
This week. Yeah, everything. Both sides of the ball. But it is still Phillip Rivers. And then that safety was hilarious because it put them down 9. And they try as they will. They were not going to lose that game. And Baker tried to give it back to you guys, because you're Colts. You're basically Colts.
We are the Colts. We are the Colts, Sal.
Yeah. Well, House and I think we're even on the Colts for the year. I think we've won 2 and lost 2.
Yeah, get
but
off
the
now.
Two we lost, that Jags game in the beginning of the year was stupefying.
That hurt. Here's
my question for you guys. There's no way Jameis is worse than Phil Rivers. Mm-hmm. There's just no way.
You're absolutely right.
There's a 0% chance he's worse. And I could argue that he's probably 20 to 25% better because he can at least throw deep. Rivers, he just doesn't have arm speed anymore. Not to mention, he can't really move around. And Myles Garrett started hitting him a few times. And then that safety he took was like, that's what you do when it's the end of your career. I just can't believe Jameis isn't playing.
I don't know what. You think he would be better than 30 interceptions when he doesn't have Godwin or Howard and
Evans.
Yeah, but we've watched this Bucs team with the big Brady spotlight on them this year. Yeah. This team, all they do is fuck up and have 10 penalties a game and do dumb shit.
Look, like, I get
that
it.
That wasn't all Jameis's fault.
You want a team to root for in every division. It makes sense that it's the Colts. Who's left? The Jaguars are hideous. They won a month ago. Big deal. You have the Texans, who don't even have a coach. He's like 74 years old. And then you have a team in the Titans who are never going to play again. So, well, it makes sense.
We're not rooting for the COVID Titans.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Jameis or Dalton?
I think Dalton gets it done. I think he gets to 8 wins. I think he does. I think he gets 8 wins. Why does he win 8 games?
The cuss is in on Dalton.
I am too. I'm with the cuss.
I think Dalton really gets it done. Iconic.
How many times has Washington beat Dallas? 0 or 1?
When? In the last 3 or 4
no,
years?
No. This year. I'm trying to get to 8
none,
wins.
None. Yeah. None. No. No, you're going to have 5 wins in division.
Should. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to go 5-1 in the division. And you already beat Atlanta, so there's 6 wins.
Yeah.
So you just have to get 2 more.
We'll get to eight.
You have to beat Cincinnati. That's a big one.
Jameis threw for 5,200 yards last year. He should be playing. I watch all the games every Sunday, and there's no way he shouldn't be one of the quarterbacks on one of these teams I'm watching.
I get it.
Like, honestly, is Matt Ryan better than him at this point? Did you see Matt Ryan today?
No, he definitely is not. I had Matt Ryan in parlays to throw a touchdown. I think he has like 31 straight drives without throwing a touchdown. He's been miserable.
And his body language is worse. Yeah. Washed watch. That brings us to our next guy, Dan Quinn. He's been washed away from Atlanta. It's finally over. And we lost Bill O'Brien too, Sal. Emotional week for us.
GM got 2 GMs and 2 coaches. Bill O'Brien taps the bill for both. But yeah, and Adam Gase is still there. Adam Gase has sworn he's not leaving office if they kick him out. But he should be next.
He's like, we're doing the rewatchables about The Martian this week. It's going up tomorrow night. Adam Gase is Damon in that movie. It's like, no, I'm not going to die. I'm going to make
potatoes
out of my own shit.
Yeah, he's making poop potatoes.
You're not getting rid of me. Oh, my station blew up. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to drive to another station. It's Adam Gase. So we lost those two guys. Dan Quinn probably could have happened a year ago.
Yeah.
Would have been okay with that.
The worst losses of all time, starting with that 28-3 meltdown. It doesn't seem, I don't know, you know, I guess Arthur Blank seems very forgiving out of everything, right? Like, he just kept them around maybe longer than he needed to. And I don't know. You never know if a coach loses a locker room. That's the only thing we can't tell from the outside. We could tell that it's not good to blow 17-point leads every other week, but everything else.
Well, it seemed like O'Brien lost the Texans from all the reports.
And also, no draft picks either in the next couple of years. I think they got back a 2 for Hopkins. Not great.
And in Texas. In Houston, I'm sad because it was an auto bet. Like, just, whoever Atlanta's playing, I want the other side of it. It doesn't matter. As long as Dan Quinn is the coach, I want whoever's playing against
Smart.
Atlanta.
Smart.
Well, I'll tell you
this. Well, that's gone now. Now I only have the Jets.
No, you know who you have. You have Romeo Crennel. they won today. They won and covered.
They got the dead coach bounce.
It was dumb. But I'm gonna play the long game with Romeo, who's 29 and 55 in his career. I have faith. One more guy on Washed Watch. I know you talked about. I'm sure you both talked about him on your podcast on Thursday night. But Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I think it's like he's like conditionally watched. If the other team has a frisky, awesome pass rush and he actually has to try to move around, which he can't because he's a statue, and you can make him uncomfortable, it goes badly. But if it's like a shit team, you know, a little like our guy Lamar Jackson has.
Yes.
The worse the team is, the better he's going to be. I think that's the stage of QB he's at. You agree with that?
And as long as he has any risk, he's at any danger at all of being touched, then you're going to get some inconsistency out of him. If he's in a clean pocket and he gets comfortable, he can still toss it around. He's still, you know, he's still learning his weapons. He's still acclimating, I would say. He's not used to a team that gets 10 penalties every week.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly it.
But if he's uncomfortable, then we get a performance like what we saw on Thursday.
I was saying exactly that. That's the first game he missed Belichick, right? I mean, I know they lost to New Orleans, but maybe they were outclassed. New Orleans was a little better, whatever, it was early. That was absolutely the first game that he missed Belichick. you weren't having Mike Evans come to the Patriots. You were going to Tampa, and this coach is very undisciplined. They had 133 penalties last year. They had 100, you know, over 110 yards, I think, in penalties the other day. Like, Brady's not used to the first and 20s. He's not used to that. And on the defensive side, he's not used to bonehead moves, you know, like, you know, late hits and stuff like that. That one drive in the third quarter took forever to go. Now, that had to make you sad, though, for getting the fourth down. He absolutely forgot. I don't know why they, I don't know. You don't walk off the field like this if you don't know. Like, they can't make excuses that he knew. No, he knew it was fourth down.
Yeah, it was like the J.R. Smith when he called the timeout, and then they pretended after that. No, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, right.
It was tough. I find myself becoming weirdly spiteful with Tom.
Really?
Oh, woo.
Yeah, like I actually kind of enjoyed the way the Bears thing went down.
Wow.
I think it's because we have a quarterback who was awesome, and then all of a sudden now he has COVID and he's gone, and I'm just bitter about football, I think is really what it comes down to.
You
I'm
must
just lashing
be, because I don't, it doesn't really make sense that you'd give Rondo a pass, although he's not the best on that team. I guess I understand there's a difference.
I really liked Rondo.
Well, you really like Brady too.
Rondo's a misunderstood genius. You know who gets him? LeBron. Was like, if you look at all the hugs LeBron had after the game, he had like a 30-second long hug with Rondo, and then the Dwight Howard was like, all right, buddy, congrats.
Yeah.
Get away from me now.
We'll catch up later.
Wait, before we do Guess the Lines, another segment, COVID Corner.
We don't have a sponsor. Segment?
Yeah, we don't have a sponsor for this one yet, for COVID
really?
Corner.
That's weird.
I guess the big wrinkle this week, other than just never knowing when a game is going to get canceled or postponed, is on Sundays now, we have to wake up even earlier because you wake up and Schefter's just dropping bombs. We're on West Coast time. Wake up, I'm having coffee, and it's like, oh, this happened. And I don't think I've ever been more engaged in fantasy leagues. There's text change. What do we do? What happens here? Can I have this guy? It's who knew fantasy was going to be like having a fucking job?
And you're running the league, so you have to do the right thing for as long as they have this going. But I'm the same way. It's reverse Christmas morning. Like, I don't want to. I wake up Sunday, I'm bummed out. I look at my phone, I see 44 texts. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Definitely one game, at least two
games.
Can
I bench Stephon Diggs and put in Henry Ruggs?
Yeah, right. And I'm like, wait, okay, this one's but they might play Tuesday, but they might not. Okay, oh, they have to test negative again to die. Oh, they're definitely not playing Tuesday. Like, you're in the Matrix. Like, it's insane what you have to go through thinking about it. But is there going to come a day where we should not be shitting on the fact that we have 12 games when, like, hey, we're going to have four games on the slate some weeks.
They're definitely going to go. It's a 17-week quote-unquote season. This will be like a 19-week season.
Adding
the playoffs.
Adding
bye weeks. That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, they'll add like two bye weeks. They'll move everything back. And guess what? They'll make more money.
You know what? I'm fine with that. It's fine. What else do they have to do? Well, like, what's the rush?
There's no rush.
We have a Super Bowl in mid-February or early March. Who cares? Get it all in. Make sure everybody's as healthy and as safe as possible. If we get 10 games a week, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's plenty. And we sprinkle in some of these sexy, a Tuesday night game. Are you kidding me? You know how happy I am? If we really get that this week, that's fine. And then not a Thursday night game. That's a good trade-off. I'm okay with that. I did mess up. I still have a Tennessee tight end that I didn't figure out what to do with.
Yeah. You know. House text me because I run the Keeper League. And it's like 10:30 Pacific time. Games have started. It's like,
game
hey,
was well into the game.
I didn't realize I had Jonnu Smith started for me at tight end. Can I pick up a tight end?
Oh no!
I'm like, no, you can't pick up a tight end. The fucking game started, House. Like,
no,
it's like
no,
you're dealing with my son.
I asked to pick up a guy playing Monday night, and I was going to dump a guy that was not, you know, was playing later in the day. Also, it wasn't going to impact
fucking
anybody
House.
Already playing. But it's fine. I'll roll with Jonnu on Tuesday. And if he doesn't play, I lose. As usual, I don't care.
People get so upset about their ad drop last minute not going through. It's like, can I get a tight end? It's like, what are you going to do? The guys out there are expected to get 1.4 points right. on Sunday. Also, you could have had him any time between Wednesday night and Sunday.
What were we doing exactly yesterday when he was available?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Oh, man. All right. We're going to do Guess the Lines, which are brought to you by... Ready? FanDuel.
Mm-hmm. All right.
FanDuel didn't put me in charge of the sports book for a day. They put me in charge for indefinitely. New same game parlays. They were my idea. A lot of people don't know. I'm making that up. They weren't my idea. But it is a gambling gift. So many different combinations you can play with these parlays. Player props, point totals, money lines. And the best part is FanDuel refund the first same game parlay you lose on any NFL game each week. Up to $10. You can bet a different parlay risk-free every NFL week, all season long. Free money. Sal, who do you like tomorrow?
This is what same this is game House's parlay. Favorite. House's favorite same game parlay. Can I really? Take a...
I've been trying this for 8 years.
Yeah. Can I take Keenan Allen over a half a reception and over 2.5 yards? Can I do that? Yeah, sure, House.
And the money line and the spread all together in one parlay? Please.
I like the Chargers plus the points. Yeah, now, Michael Thomas is starting fights in the locker room. I think it's such a different team without him. That's a ton of points to give the Chargers, and I like rooting for Herbert.
I like maybe the Chargers plus 8, whatever it ends up being, mm-hmm. with Herbert for at least 2 touchdowns.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What do you think
oh.
the odds are for that? Like,
oh, for that?
Probably like plus 260.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get ambitious and do Chargers money line.
Yeah, well,
go check that out. I think Herbert throws 2 touchdowns. Hey, you'll get $10 back if you don't win that parlay, but we can do it all season long. FanDuel, the only sportsbook app where you can play these same game parlays. Sign up with promo code BS so they know that I sent you. And if you already have an account, you're good to go. Same game parlays, risk-free all NFL season long on FanDuel Sportsbook app. Don't forget to use promo code BS when you sign up. Must be 21 plus and present in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, or Iowa. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Terms apply. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. West Virginia, 1800GAMBLER.net. Indiana, 800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado, 800-522-4700. Iowa, 800-BETS-OFF. Okay, guess the lines. House, are you staying?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm all awake.
Right.
Why
now,
not?
Now, here's the thing, Simmons. There's no way you have these games right.
Why? Oh, because no of way. All the changes?
Yeah, there's no way. I'll let you go through it. By the way, we forgot 2 games last week.
I know. I know.
We're ripping off the fans 2 games. And we're worse than the league.
Sunday marquee. We actually have a marquee game next week. It's Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting Aaron Rodgers in the Packers' house.
That's a good game.
It is a good game. I have the Bucs favored by 2 points. Mm. Who do you have, House?
Ooh, let's see. I don't like that. I like the Packers. I like the Packers. I like the Packers by like 1. How about that?
All right. I'm going to start going to you last so you have more time to think about this. You're already slowing down.
Yeah, I'm
pace.
Not a professional at this.
I'm not either. I've not won this year. You do win this one, House. I said Packers by 3, and it's Packers by 1.5. So you're close.
Oh. Packers favored in Tampa.
They're better.
Yeah, suck it, Simmons.
They're better. They're a better team.
The Packers are better. I agree.
Yeah.
There's no home field advantage.
Is there a fan? I think there are fans. This is Florida, right? They're going to have 90,000 fans.
Are they going to pack it?
Yeah.
It's going to be COVID night. That's what they're saying. They have hats.
All right. I'm all right with House winning. I just can't let Simmons win again. Just go ahead, House. Keep it going.
We're going to the watchables. First one is the Ravens are at Philly.
Yeah.
I have the Ravens favored by 4 points, Sal. What do you have?
I said 5, House.
That's a touchdown. Ravens by a touchdown.
All right, he's looking now. He's looking at FanDuel's numbers. It is Ravens by a touchdown.
I don't even know where I would go. FanDuel has the numbers up already? Hold on, let me look that up.
No, you're up 2-0. You don't need to look shit up.
Jesus. Who invited House?
why wouldn't the Ravens be favored by a touchdown?
Because...
Here's the thing. They embarrass all the bad teams. They do.
Yes,
no matter
what.
That's
what they do.
Well, so do we count Philly in that? I guess we do.
Count Philly as a bad team. I think they're actually okay.
All right.
Good pass rush.
They keep losing by double digits to decent teams.
Yeah, they were in that game.
I thought that was... There were points in that game where you could have told me Philly was going to win and I wouldn't have been surprised. I think that line's too high. Next one, Pittsburgh is home. They're playing the Browns. And I have Steelers by 5 over the Browns, Sal.
All right, I said 5 also. House?
I'm just going to say 3. I think Browns mania has taken over the nation.
All right, Simmons and I split that one. It's 4.5 right there in the Vegas zone.
Okay.
It's a tough one. 4-1 against 4-0.
Kareem Hunt was terrific today. I don't even think he was 100% healthy, but he is. Him and Dalvin Cook both look like they're always going to rush for 10 yards every time they get the ball.
Yeah, right.
He was good. Baker, you know, he had a couple of terrible Baker plays, but for the most part, he wasn't awful in that game. I thought he was moving around a little bit, and he got crushed at the end.
I think it came back negative. Yeah, he had his ribs examined. Negative is
but that
good,
was
right?
Like what? Like that was a B-minus Baker performance. It wasn't like a terrible game. By
he
him.
Let them in there for a minute, but they just had too much. I don't know. Beckham looks like he's trying. Landry's good for a big run or a big pass or something. Like their offense is.
Yeah, they have weapons.
Weirdly,
they can move the ball.
Weirdly clicking without Nick Chubb, right?
I actually thought they dropped a couple Baker passes that would have really helped him.
They did.
I agree.
I thought his receivers were worse than he was, which you don't get to say too often. Next one is the Panthers, who hit for me today.
Like the Panthers.
They are playing the Bears. The game is in Carolina. And as long as this line doesn't go way higher than I thought it think it will, I'm probably going to bet this game this week. I have the Panthers by 3 over the Bears.
Okay. It's exactly what I had, House.
Yeah, it's what I just say 2.5 because isn't home field advantage 2.5 now? It's not 3. We don't say 3 anymore.
All right. I do 2.5. I do worry that House is, for all other discussions, he's looking straight ahead. But when he has to reach in his mind for the line, he's looking left and he's looking right in specific spots.
I'm going to show you right
his
now.
His son's holding an iPad.
Here's
with the
what I have. I'm going to show you the camera. This is what I'm looking at.
It's one of the
it's
things.
Nothing.
You're looking at.
Those are the notes. All right. From Thursday, I didn't flip a page. Those were for my podcast with
you nailed
Warren
it.
Sharp.
Well, so whatever
he nailed it, he got it. 2.5.
2.5.
Yeah.
Wow. I said this on Thursday night when I was doing $1 million picks. I'm just in on Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
I think that team has the look to it. That team's good. That team could go 10-6.
Bears, New Orleans, and Atlanta. There's next 3, but yeah, I like them too. That Mike Davis is around 150. What did you say? This does count as a Ewing theory with McCaffrey.
Oh, 100%. Ewing theory is in play. Also, like we do this every year. There's the one new coach that comes in.
Yeah,
he takes over a stale situation, broken, whatever was going on, brings in his people, but. You know, that team plays really hard. They're smart. They don't beat themselves. Yeah. I think Bridgewater's been good. You know, he's been frisky. And in general, like they just don't beat themselves. And after having lost money to them a couple of weeks ago, I was like, man, I'm not betting against these guys again.
They play solid defense against a desperate, say what you will about Matt Ryan. That team is desperate to win. They didn't do anything offensively. And Robbie Anderson, statistically, is a top 5 receiver. So they can keep him going.
I was
going
to say, Anderson and Moore are like legitimately good. Mm-hmm. And you know it if you're playing fantasy or whatever. But I certainly didn't go into the season thinking, oh man, those wideouts on Carolina are going to be really something. But Robbie Anderson's one of those guys that, you know, if you caught him on the right Jets game, you'd be like, man, that guy's amazing. I wish my team would trade for that guy. And then you wouldn't see him again for 2 months.
And look at him physically. He's not that imposing. He's like pretty thin. No. It's like Snoop Dogg running routes, but he beats the crap out of everyone who's covering him.
You know who reminds me of? Steve Smith.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He's got that, the way he carries himself and he makes catches in traffic and stuff, but that team's good. I look forward to betting on them again. I do not believe in the Bears.
We're giving House too much time to check the remaining odds here.
I'm looking straight ahead. Look at my hands.
Next category is the barely watchables. First one is Colts Bengals. Kudos to the Bengals for kicking the late field goal to avoid the shutout. I love when teams do that. It's like, let's get 3 on the board. It'll look a lot better. I'm officially terrified for Joe Burrow. I haven't even watched all the Bengals plays, and I've single-handedly seen him get crushed like 8 times.
Right. And we knew this was going to happen, right? There's going to be some games like last week who they beat, the Jags. It'll be fine. You know, obviously everybody's coming after you, but 2 games against the Ravens, 2 games against the Steelers, not going to be great for Joe Burrow's stat line or maybe his health in general.
And this one, the Colts, that's no picnic.
Good defensive front. They beat up Baker.
Before I guess the line, House.
Yes, I'll go.
I want you to look me in the eye right now.
All right.
And let's make a pact.
Yeah. We are not
teasing the Colts this week.
No.
We're not doing it. We're not teasing the Colts. We're not putting Phil Rivers in a tease. I want you to repeat this like we're at an Alcohol Anonymous meeting or something. We will not tease Phil Rivers. We will not tease Phil Rivers.
Unless they announce that Jacoby Brissett is starting this week, I'm not. The Colts could go fuck themselves. That's how I feel about it. Not touching the Colts anymore.
I'm going to try
to be trusted.
I don't know if I can put parental controls on your gambling, how you do. Well, I'm going to try to figure it out.
I have the Colts at home favored by 7.5 over the Bengals.
All right. It's a little light. I said 9.
I'm going to say 7. You said it's light. I'm not wrong.
I shouldn't have said that.
You didn't give me a chance. It doesn't matter.
I keep forgetting it. It's 9.5. So I get that one. Yeah, 9.5. You can't even two-team tease that.
So to recap, I said 7.5. Sal goes, that's a little late. Sal goes, I think 7.
But yeah. 7 was the number that I had. And I'm not, you guys think I'm cheating.
That's fair. So, that's fair.
House, don't audition for The Price is Right anytime soon.
Okay. $1.
Next one is the Vikings coming off just one of the dumbest losses I've ever watched in my life. I'm not kidding. I was watching the basketball. It was 13-0. And I turned back and it was 21-13. Seahawks. They scored 3 touchdowns in
minute
10
20
minutes.
Or something. No. Yes. Yeah. Oh, and 10 real minutes.
I mean, 10 minutes of real time.
Yeah, it was a minute 25 or something.
Like, I still don't know what happened. I don't know how they got to. I know, like, Cousins threw a bad ball.
They had a turnover in there. Yeah, it really looked like they were going to just punish them after that. And I was surprised Minnesota took the lead back. But
well, the one thing with this game, Cook got hurt. And Cook definitely looks like he's out for a couple weeks.
Okay. So that if he's out, then that matters.
Oh, Madison's good, though.
Madison's good. Yeah. It's just the combo of those two together was really kind of devastating.
Yeah.
I have the Vikings favored by 4 over the Falcons.
Okay. I said 7.
I would like to say 6.
Wow. What am I missing? The Vikings are 1-4.
You're not missing anything. It's 3.5. I don't know why I went out. So they're playing the Falcons. So what do we... I guess the team with the new coach.
New coach theory has been successful over the years.
All right. I guess.
And it's 1-0 this so far this season.
Okay.
The Houston.
I'm done. I can't be on Atlanta anymore.
I like the Vikings. I don't think they're that bad. Their losses are all against good teams.
You weren't on Atlanta this week, were you?
Yes, I was. I was. I was on Atlanta. God, Sal. I was on Matt Ryan. Well,
no.
They're desperate for a win. I love them. I love them this week. I love all these terrible teams. I like the Jets this week. Really bad.
Good Lord.
Sorry, I'm getting worse at this.
Let's take a break and then we'll finish up. All right. So here's what we have left. We have a new category for Guess the Lines. First one, first time. I guarantee we've never had this category before. The next two games are in a category called COVID Corner. First one, Titans-Texans. Did we guess this last week or is this a new game? I don't even know with the Titans. I feel like we're in Groundhog Day with Titans. I have the Titans favored by 4.5 over the Texans.
All right. I said 4.
I'm going to say 3.
Simmons gets this again. 5.5. That's nuts to make them 5.5 points. Who the hell's seen them in a month?
When's the last time they played football?
I know. It's crazy.
What's the basis for that line? Preseason power rankings?
Who's on this team anymore? What are we doing? Watch Chiefs get smoked.
Now, this is also history for Guest Alliance. A game that we guessed last week, we get to guess again. Patriots-Broncos.
Wow.
This has never happened before. Talk about Groundhog Day. Patriots at home, Broncos. I like getting a second crack at this. I'm going to say Patriots by 9.
All right. I don't remember what I did last week, but I said 8.
I'm going to say 9.5.
This is going to look suspicious because I got it exactly right, but it is 8.
Okay. So somehow I blew that one. The Poopfecta House.
Yes.
Poopfecta. We got 3 games for you in the Poopfecta this week.
Washington must be involved in this.
Washington is involved. They are. Oh, we're starting with them. They are traveling to play Danny Dimes and the New York Football Giants. So I have the Giants favored by 3 over the Washington almost professional football team.
That's exactly what I have, House.
Sure, 3.
Good, solid bet by all 3 of us. It's 3.5.
Okay.
No one has anything to say.
What's there to say?
Not a word. I don't know.
If Kyle Allen plays for Washington, I'm going to bet on the almost might be professional football team to win. I'm going to bet the money line.
Hey, I don't know if anyone else has brought this up, but the Giants and Jets, obviously 0-10 between them, and tanking for Trevor, there's all that talk. Is it possible that he plays for both teams? He's just the automatic quarterback.
Oh, I like it.
At MetLife Stadium. Whenever whoever's playing at MetLife Stadium, you know how you have like the all-time quarterback when you play like 6-on-6, but there's an extra guy? Like, I think that's the fairest way to do this.
So Gary Bettman, you know, they had like the lottery and somehow the Rangers got the first pick.
Yeah,
nobody's sure how it happened. There's some cockamamie whatever. It's like the Rangers have the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Bettman would probably figure out how to do that.
For the Giants and Jets.
Because of COVID, we have decided the Giants and Jets will share a quarterback. And that quarterback's going to be Trevor Lawrence.
I'm down
with that idea. It's smart.
Thank you.
All right, our next one. The Lions are at the Jags. I think there will be fans of this game. Not sure if that's good or bad for the Lions. I have the Lions favored by 1.5.
All right. I like the Lions.
I was lost here. I said Jacksonville minus 2.5. One of us is very wrong. House?
I like the Lions by 2.
Yeah, House gets it. It's Lions by 3. That is steep.
Wow.
Steep. What do we like about the Lions?
I mean, they could be the next coach who gets fired.
Right.
They get vertical. I mean, Stafford still throws a good deep ball.
Yeah.
Jacksonville likes to beat itself. That's all.
I guess both. It's the same team, right? Except Detroit has more promise. Yeah. Right.
I'm almost afraid to say this out loud, but I don't think the Jags are bad. Their field goal kicker fucked them in the first half.
Oh, come on.
That Robinson, for that fourth and goal, Robinson, it's like, hey, man, I know we've never called this play, but how about a halfback option? Your call on what to do on inside the five. That was the dumbest thing I've ever
seen. It was actually 4th and 2. They didn't even have to score. It was 4th and 2 from like the 7. Like you just
and then the announcers are like, well, they can't bring the kicker out. He's missed 2. I'm like, all right. Should he just leave? We're not going to use the kicker anymore?
Simmons, Doug Marrone.
He's a moron.
And Jay Gruden are involved, okay? Jay Gruden is the offensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just watched him.
So he's
Washington.
A moron. Doug Marrone isn't a moron, but Jay Gruden actually, you used to tell me he would do this.
He's a goddamn nincompoop. He's a dunderhead. He's an absolute moron.
Guys, this whole division, this guy's a nincompoop, a moron. We just replaced the Phil Rivers for the Doug Marrones. This entire division kills us. Like, well, just let's stay away from it.
I forgot. I had a point on the Giants-Washington game I wanted to make. You know, everyone's talking about how bad of a year 2020 is.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, there's some evidence. Not a great year.
Let's hear them.
Can't say it's been an awesome year, but everyone's like, oh my God, this is the worst year ever, all that. I'm just going to say that Giants-Washington game, remember when we were growing up and they would only have like the one game on at 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock
pre-league, 425.
Preseason ticket?
425.
There would just be these years when it would like, because we used to get it in Boston. We'd be like, all right, you're getting the Giants because... Mm-hmm. They played in Massachusetts in the 1930s or whatever the fucking reason was. And then that would be the only game you saw. And it was just the worst. And it's like amazing all of us like football when we would just have these 3 hours where the only game we had on was like Joe Pisarcik against some other shitty guy.
Scott Bruner. Yeah. It was really
this Giants-Washington game, this could be the only game we could watch in the late games, right? It's like, this is it. What's the game? Oh, it's Giants-Washington. Fuck.
And you'd
so
wait,
that's
wait.
One good thing about 2020. Like, we get to pick our football games.
It is good. Can I make a complaint, though, about the DirecTV, about the Sunday ticket? And after you set it up, I feel bad complaining. But the Red Zone channel can no longer be 7 seconds off from the actual game.
Oh, I hate it.
Figure it out. Just figure it out and sync them up. What are we
it's
doing?
It's disrespectful to Scott Hansen.
Yeah, that's right. He's the guy. Yeah.
I also think... I don't know if they have the technology, but they should allow us to pick the 4 games in the 4-game channel.
Yeah, they did. Because
they had Rams Washington as one of the 4. I'm like, who the fuck wants to watch this game?
Is that because that was our local game? That was our local game, or does everyone get
maybe.
That in the 4?
I just feel like we should be able to pick this.
I know.
Last game in the poopfecta is Dolphins-Jets.
There's no line for this. I'll tell you ahead of time. I don't know why there's no line for this and other games.
Well, let's give it a line. We're good at this.
I want to see all of Flacco's red zone plays today cut on YouTube to Benny Hill music. it was just, how is he in the, again, where's Jameis? How is Joe Flacco starting games?
I mean, I want to hear it. I get the idea of there being like a circus kind of aspect to it, but you could also put it to something extraordinarily sad, you know, like a really, like a Death March kind of soundtrack.
Oh, like Soundgarden?
Yeah.
Mid-90s?
Yeah, right.
Or just Shame, the Shame Bell over and
shame.
Over.
Shame, yeah. Right. That's a good one.
So we have no line for this. I would have said Dolphins by 6.
What would you have
said? Dolphins by 7.
Yeah, I had 7.5. I don't know. I get it. The Dolphins shit the bed every time they look good, but you can't give the Jets less than a touchdown anymore, can you?
No, that's it from now on, right? Yeah. As long as Gase is the coach.
Sending it. I don't get to toot my horn very often, but I was all over this terrible Niners season. It was one of my all-ins.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrible. Were. They're just not good.
Last place.
What happened to them?
Well, Bosa's out. Mostert got hurt. And Mostert their quarterback
had a decent
situation
game today. Mostert had like 90 yards.
Came back.
Yeah. What happened today, though?
The quarterback situation's rough, and it seems like they just kind of lost their mojo, which we see happen year after year with the Super Bowl team.
Why is that? Why should that make any sense? Why shouldn't they beat the Dolphins or at least be in the game in the third and fourth quarter?
They weren't in the game in the first quarter.
Dolphins dominated them.
Yep.
Well, they're home on Sunday night. They're playing the Rams, and I have the Rams by 2 points.
All right, I had 3. House?
What? I have for the Rams by 6. The Rams are good. San Francisco stinks.
This is one of the couple that I got exactly right. It's 3. Rams by 3.
Good. That's a game I'm definitely playing. That's going in teasers. That's going in parlays.
I thought it was going to be Rams 3, but it feels like people are still valuing the Niners. I didn't understand the line this week. Why were they favored by 9 points over anybody? They're not good.
I don't know.
Is there
another, you know, Shanahan and Lynch are locked up for 6 years and they're pretty safe. Like, right? Like, is there anyone more safe than those two for that?
The problem for them, how bad was the Garoppolo contract? I can't remember.
130 some million.
But they have, it's not all of it though. They have
no. Some amounts, like half's guaranteed or whatever. They could spread it all out.
I'm telling you, I don't know where you guys are. I watch college football and I think there are 3 good guys a year you could add. I don't think you need to spend $40 million on a quarterback anymore. It's 3 guys, 2 or 3 are going to pan out every single year for a while now.
Well, that's going to be your team's new strategy.
I think it should be every team's strategy.
That was too soon. I apologize.
Poor Dak. What's he going to do?
Monday night.
Wait,
Chiefs.
Let's add these up. So there's 2 Monday games. House has 5. I have 5. Simmons has 4. I like the way this is working out.
All right.
We have 2 Monday night games. We have the Chiefs at Buffalo.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say Chiefs by 1.5.
All right. I said 2.
I agree that the Chiefs are going to be favored, and I'll just say 3.
That's not fair to do it like that. That's really not fair. You get it. No,
I'm the guest.
It's 3.5.
It is geared toward the guest. The guest.
What's wrong? Why can't the guest get the little bit of? I don't. I'm
you're
not.
Going,
I'm
you're
an
gonna
amateur
go to
at this.
Showcase showdown. I think. Yeah. It's 3.5.
You said my Price is Right skills suck. I think they're pretty good.
Like you've gotten better in the last 6 minutes. Yes, 3.5 is the line.
Well, it seems high.
Yeah,
it's kind of insulting to Buffalo.
Yeah.
That game is on Fox at 2 p.m. our time, Simmons, on next Monday, 8 days from now.
Sounds great.
What will it move to if Buffalo and Tennessee play and Buffalo beats the daylights out of Tennessee, which I think there's a good chance of? What will it move to? What will it go from 3.5 to what? Or will it stay put at that?
I guess it go down a little, but they're counting on it being a short week, right? Because it's Tuesday.
I think this game, Sunday night.
I think this game ends at 2.5.
All right. I don't know what to do. I mean, I almost always love the Chiefs, but I don't think I do in this spot.
Speaking of not knowing what to do, Cowboys at home Monday night against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals.
Ooh.
All right.
I have the Cowboys favored by a whopping 3 points.
I had a pick 'em house.
I like the Cowboys favored. I'll say they're favored by, you know, home field, 2.5.
You got the 2.5 right, but Arizona's favored by 2.5.
What?
Isn't that something? I checked and checked and checked to see if that was right.
That can't be right.
Arizona has not shown to us that they're trustworthy in any way.
Bad. They're not good.
Here's what I'm worried about with that offense, that defense, which is still bad. Let's not kid ourselves. This Cowboys defense is bad, although Jalen Smith looked like he could play professional football today. But Kyler Murray could potentially run all over them. We've only seen them go against Russell, hustle and bustle, a quarterback like that. I am concerned a little here. Well, whatever, it's the Cowboys.
Sal, do you think Jerry Jones, if he had the choice and it could have been his ankle or Dax, do you think he would have taken it? Been in a wheelchair for a year?
He hasn't been in a wheelchair for a year? No. He's a dancer. He likes to dance. So he couldn't do it. Fair point. Yeah.
Can you read the NBA title odds one more time?
Yeah.
Before we do Parent Corner?
Yeah, sure.
I just want to hear them one more time.
This is like porn to you. Lakers plus 380. Clippers plus 460. They're all kind of low. Right. Bucks plus 640. And then you have Boston and the Nets at 13-1. And Golden State 14-1. And the Heat 15-1. That's all I wrote down, but I can find more.
What's Dallas? Don't you think Dallas should have the respect house, considering they might have like the MVP?
They need a player.
They have moves they can make, though. They're going to have a Hardaway expiring contract.
So that's the point, right? Like, part of this prognostication is trying to imagine what the team will look like when the season starts in like March or whatever. Because that's your point is exactly the right point, which is all these teams are going to look somewhat different. Like Philly. I would like to know what Philly's odds are. I don't think they're going to win the Eastern Conference, but I want to know what they are to win their division, because I think they have moves to make.
Me too.
And Doc, I think they're going to get like one good year out of Doc, I think, at a minimum.
So I'll read a few. So I had Nets 13, Warriors 14, Heat 15, Nuggets 16, Rockets 16, Raptors 16, Mavs 20, Sixers 24, Portland 24, Utah 25.
So the Mavs and the Sixers seem like they're a tiny bit too high.
20 and 24. Yeah.
Because the Sixers, for all we know, could trade Embiid for Giannis in 3 months or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Crazy, you know?
They would have to, though. That East got a lot better, though, right? With the Nets in the mix there and the Heat being better and your Celtics there. Bucks.
Is it all right if I can believe the Nets thing when I actually see it? I don't have them penciled in. I don't have them penciled in at all yet.
Really?
It's a lot of X.
Yeah, you could do what you want. Were we supposed to cross someone off today? Did we forget?
Oh, we forgot to cross someone off. Who'd we do? We did the Jets last week?
Yeah, let's do them again.
Have you crossed off the Falcons yet?
No, we only did one team, right?
Oh, yeah. You didn't cross somebody off in week one?
No, we waited till week four.
Because there's an extra playoff.
Very sensible. Very sensible.
All right, our choices are the Giants and the Falcons, right?
Can't cross out the Giants.
I guess you can't. My God.
They could still win the division.
I got to say, I think the Bengals are the cross-off team.
Really? Now, hold on, though. With the Falcons, we like three teams in the NFC South now. If we like Carolina, like we really say, we don't think Tampa's going to go 6-10, and the Saints will be around.
I can't do it, because I don't know. What? I want to see a post-Dan Quinn game with them before I cross them up. Okay. Cincinnati is not making the playoffs.
All right,
telling you now.
You're right.
They're 2.5 games behind everyone else in that division, and they can't block. And Burrow is unfortunately going to get hit soon.
All right.
The real contest with Burrow is, will he get to the 22 touchdowns we need him to get to before he gets hurt?
Yes, he will, because he's listening to this.
I'm knocking on wood right now. Joey Covers. Come on, Joey. Stay upright, buddy.
Sacked
get in the hyperbaric chamber.
Seven times.
My second choice would have been Denver to cross off.
Really, not even Atlanta. Well, you know what? Cincy makes sense. There's three teams with four wins in that division. Yeah, Denver's the fourth best team.
Here's why I can't cross up Atlanta, because of the seven playoff teams, and the NFC is super weird, and you could see a 9-7 playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would have to go 9-2 down the stretch.
Right.
It's ridiculous, but I think it would be way more ridiculous Cincinnati to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't see that.
You're probably right. We could cross them off next week when they lose to Minnesota. We have plenty of opportunities.
All right. It's time for Parent Corner, brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Whether you're buying or selling, our friends at CarMax are on your side. With the 7-day money-back guarantee at CarMax, you've got a full week to decide if it's the right car for you, or simply return it for a full refund, no questions asked. And if it's time to sell, stop by CarMax today to get a custom offer on your car. You can leave with payment in hand or take a week to think it over. It's car buying and car selling the way it should be. At CarMax, check them out today at CarMax.com.
Should House go first?
I didn't come loaded with one, but I will say it was a blessing. Before this podcast got started today, I got to witness a Simmons parent corner. We were sitting here, convene, and Simmons put on the headphones like, okay, we're microphone check, 1, 2, what is this? We're getting ready. And all of a sudden he looks at the phone and he pulls it up and he rings up. Ben, what'd you buy? And Ben goes, nothing. Click, hangs up right away. He goes, that little son of a bitch. Bill dials him up again. Wait, he goes, Ben, I know you bought something. What did you buy? Ben goes, these nuts. Click. Bill throws the phone down. These nuts. He gets to his dad. Bill throws the phone down and runs.
Oh,
runs
no.
Right out of the room. That little son of a gun. And I still don't know what he bought, but it was a great moment in the Simmons household.
He bought VC for PlayStation after I told him not to. And there's going to be a major reckoning after this podcast.
What is a reckoning? VC?
What, VC for the PlayStation. It's for NBA 2K.
Oh, okay.
How much is that?
Because I had already taken my PayPal off his account, so he couldn't do it.
Oh,
but
man.
Then he needed something for it, so I put it back, but I hadn't taken it off yet. And he charged $49 to the credit card.
To these nuts. It's going to show up on the bill as these nuts.
He's like, Dad, you're betting the Colts every week. I don't want to hear shit.
Seriously. I might as well go, because mine was about him too. He went to...
you don't say.
He went away for the weekend with his buddy, Tic Tac, the rapper. But they went to San Ynez, and he was gone for 3 days. And on Wednesday night, my wife's like, Ben, you have to pack for the trip. Cigar Eyes, she's like, I'm not packing for you. You got to pack. So Thursday comes, and they're going to come to pick him up. And it's like a half hour away. And she's like, I want to see what you packed. Here's what he packed for a 3.5-day trip to San Ynez. A big blanket, his PlayStation 4, along with his headset and a controller, a pair of jogging pants, and that was it. That's what he brought. No toothbrush, no underwear. Oh, I think he had a t-shirt. I'm sorry, he had a t-shirt too. He had no toothbrush, no toiletries whatsoever, no second pair of underwear, no night clothes, no anything. That was what he brought. Blanket, PS4, some headset, a t-shirt, and a pair of jogging pants.
And he's nuts, right?
And he's nuts. So,
the blanket. Yeah. Why the blanket? Is it like a lucky blanket? Is it his gamer blanket? The blanket is somewhat confounding, because you don't need to bring a blanket to somebody else's house.
Well, how about that? He's in a car with somebody for 2 hours wearing the same pair of underwear for 4 days. Thought this was a good idea.
So did you help him out? I mean, you guys changed.
Yeah,
it up,
my wife, okay. Got very upset and then ended up packing for him. So anyway, that was great. That story. What do you have, Sal?
Well, all right. So I like giving nicknames around here. You know that, Simmons, from working on Kimmel. The nicknames are a big part of our lives. And it's especially effective if you give someone a nickname they don't like and they can't shed. So I call my middle kid Muggzo, because he's got a chin that like jets out and he looks like a old timey gangster. And I'm like, ah, Muggzo. So I call him Muggzo or Muggzo Face, and he hates it. The older one, I've given him a couple, haven't stuck over the years because he doesn't get so mad. But the younger one, as you may know, if you've listened, I've called Harriso for a year. His name is Harrison. But when he went to school, They made aprons for Thanksgiving, and the teacher's aide or something forgot the N on his name. And so he brought back an apron that said Harriso. So now all I do is call him Harriso. And he like comes at me with that 7-year-old, like just that roundhouse to these nuts, actually, more often than not. So, but anyway, he doesn't like the nickname. And that's what's important now. He's gotten me back, and for everybody, because he picked a nickname for me that it looks like it's going to stick. And they know it gets to me, even though I'm trying to play it cool. They call me Dado Fatto. Dado Fatto. So I've gained a little weight here during the quarantine. I don't trust anyone who's lost weight over this pandemic. I've gained a little weight, and now it's Dado Fatto everything. And it's Dado Fatto. Dado Fatto, what time is the draft on SmackDown? Dado Fatto, do you know where we put my... And they say it so matter-of-factly, and I know I run the risk of getting 10,000 Dado Fattos on Twitter now, but I had to say it. They got me. Dado Fatto's the nickname.
So it's Dado... D-A-D-D-O-F-A-T-T-O?
I think so. No one sent me flowers yet, so I don't know officially how it's spelled.
Dado Fatto.
Dado Fatto's not good.
It's
not
I kind of want a t-shirt. It's kind of great.
It's Dado not going Fatto. Anywhere.
It's the Dado Fatto Inc.
Dado Fatto Productions.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
So they did it. They turned the tables
over. Yeah, that's it. I don't know what to do. I think I have to leave the house.
Unbelievable.
All right, that was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax. America's number one used car retailer. Check them out today at CarMax.com. Dado Fatto, what do you have to plug?
All right, my book, You Can't Lose Them All by Dado Fatto. Hey, if you pre-order a copy of You Can't Lose Them All and upload your receipt at www.cousinsalbook.com, you will receive a signed book plate when the book comes out. www.cousinsalbook.com. I'll sign a book plate. I'll send it to you. Simmons was nice enough to write a blurb. In fact, he wrote five blurbs, all trashing me. And, Sal's an asshole because of this. Sal's, I was like, all right, calm down. I only needed one. He sent five.
I wanted you to pick. I wanted to give you choices.
You gave me a lot of nice choices. I have a lot of nice choices, and I appreciate that. Against all odds, go to extrapoints.com or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Download that, subscribe, resubscribe. It's the blue against all odds. And Fox Bet Live, 5 p.m. Eastern on FS1. And no Thursday Night Football. I lose money, Simmons, because they don't have a game this week. I'm suing the league for malpractice or something. I'll figure out what to sue.
Oh, yeah. So you don't have a bit this week?
Yeah, I don't have a bit. There's no game.
Jesus.
I'm suing.
House, you have Fairway Rolling.
Fairway Rolling.
And then Fridays.
Tuesday.
Fridays with Warren Sharp on the Ringer NFL show.
Yes. We've got the PGA Tours in Las Vegas. Nathan Hubbard and I are going to talk about trying to pick a winner in Vegas. And week six with Warren Sharp. We're trying to give out. Every week we're doing a little segment, Sharp Points with Warren Sharp. Last week we try and take an aspect of gambling and kind of talk it through. Last week was double-digit favorites. Because this was the first week there were the two double digit favorites and they went 1-1. Mm-hmm. But historically very profitable. I haven't figured out yet. We put out to the listeners what they wanted to hear for sharp points this week. So I'm eager to see what the listeners want to hear Warren give a little teaching on.
Mm. I always felt like the double digit favorites were the equivalent of the 12 against the 2 when you're playing blackjack.
Interesting.
It's almost like you just have to pick a strategy and go with it and just that's your strategy from the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
You can't be like, oh, I'm going to do it this way this time. You just got to go.
Whatever it is. So, yeah. I think they caught up with the unders, House and Simmons, both of them. I think like eight games went under this week.
Yep. This week. That was kind of anticipated, right? The inflation.
Yeah.
Was the Vegas was finally going to inflate them enough.
Came back. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Sal, good seeing you. House. Good
House and
you.
I tied.
Thanks
I'm
for staying
off,
up.
I'm off the schneid. It's 5-0 and do I get a one or do I get a half a win there?
You House get a half a half a win.
All right. Well, thanks anyway, House. I'll give you the assist.
My pleasure.
Congratulations to Laker fans on their 12th title. And be back on the podcast here on Tuesday. Check out the rewatchables doing the Martian. That is going up Monday night. Sal, House, good job by you.
Good job by you.
Good job by you.